This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm Andy Baskin, sitting a couple counties away from him. Sitting, I don't know if you're a couple counties away or if you're a couple states away, but Brian Anderson, super friend of the show, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You remember him as an Indians pitcher. You may know him from the Browns on Red Zone. And, of course, right now he also calls Tampa Bay home, where he is the color analyst for the Rays. Hey, B.A., how are you?
I am doing well, all things considered, and I am more than a couple of counties away. I am a few states away, still down in Florida, but hopefully be heading back up home sometime soon.
All right, B.A., for just first off, how are you doing? How's your family, and how are things going in Florida?
Well, you know what? So far, so good. Obviously, we're all living this nightmare together, so you try to make the best of it. So obviously you're quarantining like everybody else, get out for the daily walk, and fortunately I'm in an area where it's sparsely populated with a lot of good walking trails, work out in the garage, and then find a way to entertain yourself, watching some TV, playing with the kids, stuff like that, but like I said, trying to make the best of it and realizing that we've got at least another month of this, but so far we're holding up just fine.
And that's good to hear. We're glad of that. Hey, Brian, we were, we're trying to do our jobs. You're trying to do your thing. We just had a little conversation about top three sporting events that anybody's ever witnessed in person. And we all came up with some good ones, and it was amazing the variety of things. Give it some thought if you want, or if you want, give us three that you can think of yourself, and obviously a different perspective as a professional athlete that you've attended in person.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, am I allowed to be involved in any of them? Because
sure.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I go back to the World Series that we were able to win, with the Diamondbacks. And, 2001, and not just one event, obviously game seven and winning that by being able to find a way to beat Mariano Rivera in the bottom of the ninth inning at home. I mean, that was an unbelievable ball game, trailing 2-1 going into the bottom of the ninth inning, but really the series in general, because of course that was the World Series of after 9/11 in 2001. And so everything had been pushed back and obviously, what the country was going through, ironically enough, at that time was quite interesting, completely different dynamic than today. But that really made the whole series great, culminating, obviously, in that game seven where, we were able to come back and beat Rivera and the Yankees and their dynasty for the time being. So, that was one great event. I know the other event or one of them. But Andy, you're always talking about me being a Nebraska fan, and I became a Nebraska fan during the 83 season, the scoring explosion season for Nebraska. Back then you didn't have all the games on TV like you do nowadays. I mean, you watched, growing up in Northeast Ohio, we watched Big Ten games. You'd get Notre Dame. Occasionally you'd get a national game with two teams that were from out of the market. But for the most part, you watched the Big Ten. And so I remember my parents going over to some friends of theirs' house the night of the national championship game. That would have been in January of actually 84. And Nebraska was playing Miami. And, of course, that was Bernie Kosar, his freshman year at Miami. And so the kids, you know, my parents went over, they're hanging out with the adults, obviously. The kids are much younger than I am, so I'm kind of by myself, and the game's starting. So I'm going to sit down and watch the game, and really had no idea who in the world I was going to root for, but I was drawn to Nebraska's style of offense. You know, back then they ran that triple option. You know, they had Urban Fryer, Mike Rozier. It was a completely different style of football that I had ever seen. So I said, okay, I'm rooting for that team. And of course they fall behind huge early in that game. They claw back, score a touchdown, ironically enough, on a fourth down and eight option pitch, from, I think it was like 24 yards out. So fourth and eight, Tom Osborne runs an option and they score a touchdown with the backup tailback because Mike Rozier had gotten hurt. And back then there was no overtime. And so, you know, Nebraska scores the touchdown. The announcers are actually talking about the fact that if Nebraska just ties, if they tie or win, they're going to be national champs. And they had the opportunity to tie with an extra point. And immediately Tom Osborne came out and said, we're going for two. We are going for two. And, they go for two. Of course, they don't get it. They end up losing that game 31-30, but as an impressionable, you know, I guess I would have been, 11, 12 years old at that time, 11 years old, very impressionable at that point. And I said to myself, that is the gutsiest thing I have ever seen. That's my team. And that was it. I became a Nebraska Cornhusker fan that night. And it's nice. Been some lean years here lately, but that's where it all started. And that's one of the most memorable. And the other one that I will give you,
Hang on, BA, do you remember any details from that Nebraska game? I'm sorry, I had to do it.
I remember a few, but I'll tell you one more. And this is the one. This is one game where really, when you think about never saying die, never quit it, you playing through the end. You go back to the '86 Browns Jets playoff game. Browns down by 10, or actually down by 3. Kosar throws an interception. Next play, Freeman McNeil runs it in. Now they're down by 10 with a few minutes left to play. Hadn't moved the ball at all in the second half, and you're like, this game is over. And somehow those guys found a way to come back and tie that game. And then, of course, Mosley misses the field goal in the first overtime right away, and then he ended up having to go to a double overtime. But that comeback, when it looked like that team was beyond, I mean, they were it just was not going to happen. And that game right there was another one, impressionable. And occasionally I'll bring that thing up on YouTube and watch it again. And it was that great of a game. So those are the three that pop off the mind quickly.
BA, I'm just I'm curious. I want to talk a little football with you as well. What are your thoughts on the extra playoff game?
You know what? I think at this point I'll take anything. That would have been a great discussion if we weren't going through what our country's going through right now. Not only right. with the loss of life and the fear and economics and on and on and on, and of course you can put sports way down the list, but you know that's usually a big part of bringing everybody together, and that's not happening right now either. So an extra playoff, a couple extra playoff teams, a couple extra playoff games. Whatever, I'm all for it. You know, maybe on a different day we would have a different discussion and you would say you're watering down the product or you're making it too much like, you know, the NBA or hockey where everybody gets in. But right now I'll take any extra sports that you want to give me. And in the early January, provided the season goes off on time, we get a Saturday, Sunday with three games Saturday, three games on Sunday. I'm all for it.
Hey, Bri, as a guy who, obviously, you have kids. Kids aren't playing sports right now. High school baseball seasons look like they're in jeopardy all over the country, but kids are trying to stay in shape and doing things. As a former major league pitcher, what can kids do while they're sitting at home? And if they can't get out and throw with somebody, if you're a pitcher, what can you do to try and keep your arm ready to go for when baseball finally returns?
Well, you know what? You've got to be creative. You've got to be creative. Hopefully, You know, you've got a dad, a mom, a brother, a sister, somebody that can play catch with you to be able to go out in the yard. Now, that's depending upon having a yard big enough, or maybe you can go to a park that's close by. You know, when you're out there kind of by yourself, and you can go out and long toss and throw and keep your arm in shape. But you just got to get creative. You know, I grew up out in Geneva, and we were kind of out in a rural area, and I didn't live in a neighborhood. There weren't a lot of people around me, but I had a big yard. So I would go out there with a tennis ball, throw it up, hit it, hit left-handed, hit right-handed, which is how I learned how to switch hit. Nerf, you know, in the basement, Nerf ball with with those little giveaway wooden bats that you get, you know, at the stadium. You can have some games like that just to, you know, just to stay active. Stay engaged, but you've got to be creative. You know, nowadays I laugh all the time. You know, you go through the toy aisles and see what these kids have, you know, at their disposal now to play with. And you think back to when we were kids, we were making stuff up. You know, we would find a stick that kind of resembled a gun, and we'd play army with that. Now you can go out and get these Nerf guns that are some of the most, you know, they're crazy what they can do. And even with the sports stuff. But I think you've got to be creative, and you got to get outside. Obviously, social distancing, and that's been a buzz phrase that is not going to leave our lexicon anytime soon. But you go out there, and with a family member, you're able to play long toss, play catch, you know, hit ground balls, hit pop ups, do all of these different things to continue to try to to sharpen your game, and also, you know, if you have a garage. Even if it's with a tennis ball, where you can, you know, you can make a target, and you can work on pounding that target. I mean, it's funny when I watch the game nowadays. I think that the stuff, the pure stuff, the velocity in the game of baseball right now is the best that I've ever seen it. But the pitchability and the command is the worst I've ever seen it. Guys really don't learn how to pitch because they don't have to. They just blow it right by you. And they don't learn command because they're too busy trying to generate velocity. So if somehow you can work on generating that velocity, oh, by the way, knowing where you can put it, oh, my gosh, that's where you become a Gerrit Cole. That's where you become elite, when you have the stuff, the velocity, and, oh, my, the command. And command's something that you can work on. Take a piece of chalk, you know what I mean, draw a strike zone on the garage and go to work. And make sure you're putting in that thing all the time, and then divide it into fourths, and go to up, you know, up and in, down and away, you know, divide it into, you know, nine portions, and try to hit them. But there are a lot of different things that you can work on to improve that command, all the while improving your arm strength too.
BA, it's nice. Too bad because my son and I have been working on a buzzer for his back, just so I can stand out in center field and try to see if I can see pitches coming. Too soon? Is that joke too soon?
No, that is not too soon. That is not too soon. And when we finally get up and playing once again, whether that be this year, later this fall, or not until next spring, I hope people don't forget what the Astros did. I'm sure they won't, but isn't it funny how that's gone away? You know, it's funny how things get prioritized when something of this magnitude, you know, hits. You know, not just our country, but hits the entire globe, you know, all of that rancor and anger towards the Astros, you put that way on the back burner and hope for everybody's safety, well-being, in a number of different ways, through life, living, economically, you know, with everything that's going on. And, you know, we'll get to playing when we get there. But it is funny how priorities get readjusted quite quickly.
Hey, Brian, Mark Teixeira brought this up on ESPN like 2 days ago, and I don't think I've ever thought about it for baseball, but the thought of trying to get games in and maybe perhaps having games end in a tie, I'd love to hear your perspective on that.
I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. In fact, that would be, you know, the worst of all of the ideas. You know, the first one that we had ever heard of, and I think they did it in the World Baseball Classic a couple years ago, is, you know, the game is tied going into the 10th inning. You put a runner at second base. You start the inning with a runner at second base. And, you know, I'm not all for that either. However, if you were going to make an adjustment, then that would be it, as opposed to having just a straight tie like old hockey. I would not be for that at all. I mean, let's play the game. Let's have a winner. Let's have a loser. And, you know, if you have to get creative in order to try and do that, I guess you could, I would not be for that. I would not like that either. I mean, that, I think that throws into a, you know, in a whole other group, you know, you start a runner at second base. Well, who's responsible for that runner? If the run scores, is it a team loss? Does the pitcher, he doesn't get the loss, not his runner. He gives up a single and you lose the game. I mean, there's so many different things you'd have to, you know, to categorize and to, you know, change the rules and scorekeeping and all of that. But I still like the idea of playing a game, and at the end of the game, somebody wins and somebody loses, and you move on to the next day.
What's worse, having a runner start at second or having to come to the plate with a 3-2 count?
You mean as a hitter?
Yeah, as a hitter. So say you want to speed up the game and you don't want to blow pitchers out, so you walk up.
Oh gosh, yeah. You know what?
You walk up with a 3-2 count.
Yeah, 3-2 count.
That's worse.
You know, coming up there, yeah, just for one pitch. I mean, can you listen again? We just talked about that command in the game right now is not the strong suit. Stuff and velocity is, command is not. You'd see a lot of 3-2 quick walks and off you go. I don't like either one of those. I like playing it out like you do. I mean, some of the games that I remember the most in my career, and I, you know what? I'll give you two of them. They were in Pittsburgh, and they were on back-to-back nights, rain-filled nights, when I was a member of the Indians back in, I guess that would have been 2003, and we played the Pirates in interleague play, and we had back-to-back 15-inning games with rain delays. It wasn't just we played 15. We played 15 with multiple rain delays, and we played in a monsoon, but it was interleague, and so you had to get them in. And those are the games you remember. You remember the 17-inning games. I remember Dwayne Stats and I calling, it was either 18 or 19 innings. It felt like we were there forever. In fact, it was. It was. We had a couple of people come up to the booth in the bottom of the ninth inning because, you know, there was a, you know, someone was going to win, you know, in regular, you know, in nine innings. And all of a sudden the game got tied up in nine and you go to 10, 11. Next thing you know, you're in the 18th. You're in the 18th inning, and these people have been sitting up there behind you for 3-4 hours while you play basically another game. Those are the games that you always remember. They don't happen all the time. I mean, if extra innings was something that was all the time now, I understood, but it's not. And some of those games that have gone, you know, long, those are the games you'll remember the rest of your life. Remember that game, 17 innings, we played for 6.5 hours? Yeah, that stinks that night, and maybe you're tired the next day, but listen, you're a professional athlete. Get over it.
Jeff will never
forget. You want to tell him, Andy?
Yep.
Yeah, you want to tell him, Andy, or should
I? Those games in Pittsburgh.
Those are the best. I remember getting – I remember that we're, you know, running out of players, and so Eric Wedge has to keep running guys out there. And so I could run a little bit, you know, had some speed, ran, got the pinch run a lot in the National League. So he pinch hits CC Sabathia. CC Sabathia gets a base hit because CC Sabathia can swing the bat.
Yeah.
So CC gets a single. They put in, what was his name? Davis. They put in the pitcher, tall, lanky, righty.
Jason
his
Davis.
First name? Jason
Davis.
They put Jason Davis in to run for CC at first base. Somehow, maybe a walk, somehow Jason Davis is now at second base. Well, now they put me in the pinch run for Jason Davis because I could run better. Now I'm in scoring position. And I think there was a strikeout, and I ended up standing out. By the way, I was leading off second base, and I had mud. I mean, way up my shoe. I mean, it was close to, like, starting to leak into my shoe. That's how soggy it was out there. But we burnt three pitchers on basically one play. One to get a base hit, one to pinch run at first, and then me to pinch run at second. So we blew Sabathia, Davis, and myself on one AB in one of those
That's
games.
Nice.
And Phelps still hates me for that game.
Why?
Tell him.
Yeah.
Why does he?
Jeff hates me for those games.
Well, okay, why does he hate me for those games, and why will he never forget those games?
Andy was out those days. I filled in for him, so I had to make the trip to Pittsburgh. And I stood, and I got in trouble for it. I stood because I'm getting ready to go out and do the interview at the end of the game, and I think Pittsburgh tied it up. So I ended up spending like four, five, six innings, whatever it was, standing in the tunnel waiting just in case, because, you know, Andy had never prepped me. Hey, if it goes into extra innings, do this. And I remember later getting chewed out. Hey, you're not supposed to be down there. All right, well, sorry about that. But we, I remember walking back to the hotel after 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. And back to back nights. You know, it's one thing to do it one time, and then you do it the very next day. The same thing happens. I mean, just crazy games. But I can't believe that you got hung out to dry like that.
Sorry, boys.
We had a wedding shower
that weekend. My wife and I had a wedding shower, so I took the weekend off. It was great. BA, we love you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Yes, I'll be around, fellas.
Okay. Story time with Brian Anderson next week. Thanks, BA. Hey. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
And, of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.